Hi, this is Lynn Grubb. Welcome to The Adoption Experience. Thanks for joining me today. It is May 8th, and it's a balmy 79, sunny in Dayton, Ohio, where I live. Today, I want to talk about something that has traditionally been controversial. It's one of those things that we talk about behind closed doors in adoptee spaces, but we don't talk about it publicly. And the reason is, of course, is that we get a lot of backlash because, you know, it's really not socially or accepted to talk negatively about your own mother. And double whammy, calling her narcissistic in public, it does not win you any favors, brownie points, or love. So I did want to mention the most famous adoptee of a narcissistic adoptive mother, and that is Christina Crawford, daughter of movie star Joan Crawford. If you've ever seen the movie Mommy Dearest, you get a close-up view of what the experience of an adopted daughter lived with, whose mother was, I would diagnose her as a malignant narcissist, but, you know, I don't know. What do y'all think? I think she's pretty close to the psychopathy. But, you know, I'm not a counselor or a psychologist, but, you know, when you're bashing someone with a coat hanger yelling, no more wire coat hangers, I think it definitely puts you up there on the narc meter. So, anyway, we're getting close to Mother's Day, which, as everyone knows, can be a triggering day for adoptees. Many of us are going to be celebrating, myself included. I'm a mother. My mother knows that I spend the day with my kids, and I try to spend time with her on a different day. So that's how I'm dealing with it. The rest of you, however you've made it work, hey, I totally support you in that. If you don't even see your mother or talk to her, I support you in that, because this is difficult stuff. This is really, really hard, and it's taken me years and years and years of processing in order to even be able to talk about it in a way that doesn't come across as completely hostile. So, I mean, trust me, I've had my moments of hostile. I've had my moments of anger. I've had my moments of massive frustration dealing with a narcissistic mother. And, you know, after a while, you start to understand that there's a few rules when dealing with your narcissistic mother. First of all, it's not about you. It's not your fault. She is this way because she was born with a certain type of personality, and then something happened in her early childhood that made her not attach properly, or whatever the mechanism is that causes narcissism. It happened for either the reason, this is what the studies say, you're either spoiled or you're abused. You're overvalued. You could be, you know, what they call the golden child. You're the child that can do no wrong. You're put up on a pedestal. You're never held accountable. And if that's your role in the family, then it's very likely that you too can be the next narcissist. So those of us who are trying to heal from our narcissistic mothers, the majority of us are going to be scapegoats, myself included, the non-favorite child in the family, the one that the narcissist projected all of their shame onto, the one that they competed with. And many times this is the daughter. So I speak from a daughter viewpoint. I can't speak from a son viewpoint. So that, you know, take what makes sense to you out of this podcast, and probably more to come. I'm probably going to do a series, and leave the rest. If it's not true about your mother and you're unsure about whether she has a narcissistic personality style, I would recommend that you go see a therapist, someone who understands narcissism and understands personality disorders. And frankly, it's going to be hard to find someone who really understands it. And this is the irony of being both adopted and having a narcissistic mother, is that therapists, counselors, and social workers aren't taught very much about either topic in their schooling. So they get a very, very minimal amount of adoption training. And for the most part, they're not taught that being relinquished and adopted is traumatic, although I think it's becoming more well known nowadays. But I'm not convinced that most therapists know this. And it's the same with narcissistic parents. Most therapists are going to advise you based on the belief that your parents don't have a psychopathology to their personality, or they're going to advise you to do things that would work in a healthier person that has empathy that will never work with your narcissistic mother. And so what does that mean? That means that you're going to therapy and not getting any help whatsoever. You're getting bad advice. That's because the therapist doesn't understand what you're dealing with. Now, for the last therapist I had, she was trauma-informed, and I just flat told her up front from day one, my mother is narcissistic. It was a fact. It's a fact, as far as I'm concerned. And she dealt with me from that point, and she seemed to understand what that meant because of our later conversations when we were doing EMDR, eye movement desensitization. EMDR, what's the R? I don't remember. Anyway, it's where your eyes move back and forth, or you have clickers in your hands. It's a bilateral thing that's helping you get the trauma processed and pushed to a different part of your brain. I'll put a link in the show notes about EMDR if anybody's interested. There's also another similar type of treatment that I know some friends of mine do, and it's called brain spotting. I haven't heard any adoptees tell me that it's working for them yet, but it's still pretty new. At least my understanding is that it is new. So if you have any experience with brain spotting for adoptee/narcissism issues, would love to hear from you. You can email me at theadoptedgenealogist@gmail.com. And if you'd like to hear about a specific topic as it relates to narcissistic mothers, please email me those as well. I have like a running list in my head that I want to talk about, but today I just want to do an introduction. Let me just first say that my mother's still living. I see her weekly, and these podcast series are not being made to bash her or to get revenge or to upset her, because she doesn't do internet anyway, so she's not going to hear them. So I just want you to know that these are for educational purposes only. These are all my opinion. Take it for what it's worth. This is not legal advice. This is not official advice, therapying, none of that. This is just for educational purposes. I want you to know that if you are dealing with something similar to what I've been dealing with, that it's not you, it's your mother. And I want to give a shout out to Dr. Romani's new book called It's Not You. I will put a link in the show notes. I just finished, I've listened to it twice on my latest trip, and it was very, very helpful and healing. I'm listening to another one. I'll talk about that in another episode. I love Dr. Romani. I call her my adopted mother because I've adopted her from afar. She just gets it, and it's so nice to just feel like it's so validating to watch her YouTube. I mean, I'm like, she gets me. She gets it. She gets it. So even though I haven't heard her do any specific talks or discussion about narcissistic adoptive mothers, I would say that there's probably all the things that she teaches about narcissism in general apply to narcissistic adoptive mothers. However, there's additional things that I think what come into play with adoption that I want to talk about later that I think are missed in the mainstream narcissism educational movement. And it's because, you know, we're a minority. As far as I know, we're only 3% of the population. And when you cut that down to just children of narcissistic adoptive mothers, that's even a smaller portion. So we're talking about a tiny percentage of people. However, if you go to Reddit, or if you go to the narcissistic parent Reddit board, or the adoption Reddit board, or you do Google searches about adoption and narcissism, you're going to find quite a bit out there. Excuse me. People are talking about this, but most of them are trying to keep it on the down low. It's just again, it's like a siren to everyone to come and beat you up for daring saying anything negative about your mother, even if it's true. So that's what I'm hoping to talk about in the next, who knows how many episodes. We'll see as we go. And if you haven't seen Mommy Dearest, it'd be a good time to watch it. Maybe on Mother's Day if you have a narcissistic mom. Just kidding. You probably want to get outside and do some planting, smell some pretty flowers, do some hiking, something that makes you happy. And if you're a mom, spend time with your kids or doing something that you want to do. You don't have to feel pressure to spend it with your narcissistic mother. You can spend any time you want with her or spend no time with her. It's okay. Send her a card or don't. I mean, there's a lot of different things you can be doing. And honestly, I've been mulling this over and was chatting with my friend last night who also has a narcissistic mother. And what in the world I should do for my narcissistic mother. Hers is deceased. Mine's living. What should I do? Should I feel obligated to take flowers over there? Should I just send a generic card? Should I send a loving card? Should I take her to lunch? And I go through this every year. Every year I'm pondering this. And this year I did it out loud with a friend and I was able to resolve the problem. And I don't know why it comes up for me. I think it's just anniversary anxiety about it. Just what we normally do is I celebrate with my kids on Mother's Day and I just tell her, this is what we're doing. I'm celebrating with my kids. I'll celebrate with you on another day. So earlier today, I picked her up from her independent living complex and we had lunch, went to the bank, did a few businessy things and just chatted about her weekend and I dropped her back off. Oh, I played with the cat for a little while. We have joint custody of a cat. So it went well. It went really well. I mean, the thing about my narcissistic mother, and I would say this is not true for all, is that at least 50% of the time she's pleasant and nice. And, you know, like 90% of the time, 95% of the time, she's pleasant and nice to everybody else but me. So that makes it really hard because that's another part of having a narcissistic mother that's really difficult. When everybody else thinks your mom is the best thing since sliced bread. And it's because she bashes you, she criticizes you, she saves all of her venom for when you're alone. And that can be so isolating because people don't want to believe that mothers can be like this. You know, it's very convenient to just brush this all under the rug because it's hard. It's hard to talk about. It's hard to live it. It's hard to decide whether to stay in contact or not. So the majority of the women I know who are adopted with narcissistic mothers are no contact. I happen to be in the minority. I didn't take statistics. I'm just going off all the ones I know. So most of the ones I know are no contact. And that brings its own set of problems because then who do you celebrate holidays with? If you're no contact with your own mother, then that means you might be no contact with your aunt, your uncle, your cousins, your sisters, your brothers, your dad. It can mean all sorts of relationships interrupted. And that's really hard. It's really, really hard. So I'll talk to you more about that, but I wanted to get back to the Reddit thing that I saw today that was asking the question, are most adoptive parents narcissistic? And I would say that's no. But the answers were really interesting. Some people said they had really great adoptive parents. Some people said that they had really awful ones. And then I went from that thread over to the narcissistic parent thread on Reddit. And the question was, what did your narcissistic parents fail to teach you? And this is where it got really interesting for me because it really made me think. A lot of people said they didn't teach about finances, that they didn't teach about driving, that they didn't teach about cooking, cleaning, just basic stuff. And the general consensus was that these parents were total fails because they didn't teach even the basic things that you need to live on your own as an adult. So the one that really stood out for me and brought back some memories for me is, I had a couple memories. One, when I was away at college, I was 20 when I went away to college. I didn't know how to do laundry. And I'm standing in the laundry room asking a total stranger to teach me how to wash my clothes. Now, if that's not embarrassing, I don't know what is, but there you go. I'm not embarrassed by it anymore, but I was at the time, and I thought I was alone. But apparently, there's all sorts of narcissistic parents who don't teach their kids stuff. Another thing that really stood out is this baking thing that my mom's a really excellent baker. She bakes a lot of pies. Well, she can't anymore because of her arthritis, but for years and years and years, she always brought pies to our family functions. And she's just always been a really good cook and baker. And so I've asked her on numerous occasions, both when I was a kid and an adult, could you please wake me up early so I can learn how to do the cookie cutouts, learn how to do the turkey for Thanksgiving, learn how to bake the pies. And she just never wanted to teach me. She would never wake me up. I don't think she wanted to fool with me. She didn't want to wait around for me. She didn't want to deal with me. She just wanted to do it herself. And that was a theme in our relationship. So later on during my honeymoon, we were vacationing near like a bunch of adoptive family. So we had dinner with the whole family one night. And my mom was telling the group in front of my husband, my brand new husband, that I was a bad cook. And then I don't remember if she said I couldn't cook or didn't cook or what I cooked was bad. I can't remember exactly what she said, but my husband stood up for me and said that I made a mean lasagna and that I was, you know, a good cook. So he helped me save face in front of the family. But, you know, that's just a little glimpse of the kind of thing that I've dealt with my entire life. And like, it was just normal. Like, it never occurred to me that this was an issue. Like, one of my good friends who's known me forever, her name's Tammy. She came over for dinner one time when, I was our early 20s. And she said to me after dinner one night, she goes, I don't really like the way your mom talks to you. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, she puts you down. And I'm like, oh, well, that's normal, right? So that just shows you, like, we talk about being in the fog in the adoption world. Well, I was in the fog about my relationship with my mom until I think my mid-20s is when it finally hit me that something was really wrong. Yeah, I didn't know. And like, how would you? Unless somebody points it out to you and says, hey, have you considered that maybe your mom is narcissistic? Nobody's ever going to say that. I mean, it's only been like the last few years that we've even been hearing in the media about narcissism. Well, really, because of Trump. You know, everybody says that he is, and I have no doubt, but that's another discussion. So that's made it like a big conversation in the media, but it's never related to adoption in any way. It's not something that we really discuss out loud because, again, it's hard to talk about. It's hard to get anybody to understand that had anyone with a, quote, normal, loving, attuned mother just cannot grasp the idea. Well, maybe they can grasp the idea, but they cannot understand on a level that we experienced that we had this problem, this situation, this not getting the love that we deserved, the made to feel like we're never good enough, because that's what a narcissistic adoptive mother does. She makes you feel like you're never good enough. Nothing you do is ever good enough. You will try and you'll try and you'll try to make the family look good because that's what you're trained to do. But nothing you ever do is going to be enough. And if you're the scapegoat, everything that goes wrong in the family is going to be blamed on you. That's your role. Your role is to carry the shame that the narcissistic mother will dump on you. She can't contain it. She can't grieve. She can't process. She doesn't have the empathy. She doesn't have the emotional skills to deal with her own self-hatred. So it's going to get spewed onto you. And that, my friend, is what we're talking about here. And if you're part of this club, you know, I don't know that you wanted to be a member. I feel certain you didn't. But if you are one, I welcome you. And I hope that something that I've said here today has resonated with you. And in fact, actually, I hope that this makes no sense to you, because then that means it's probably not your problem. But if it is, if you do believe that you had a narcissistic adoptive mother, I hope to be able to give more solace and ideas for you in order to cope and deal, and even just have the right words for it, because there's so many words. And I've been reading these words my entire life. When I figured it out in my 20s, something wasn't right. I still didn't know narcissism. I didn't know that at all. I just knew something was wrong. And I was also seeing it in other family members. So where there's one narcissist, there's going to be many more. Whether one of their parents or one of your siblings or grandparents, aunts and uncles. For me, I married into a family with a lot of narcissism. So I just basically call it a narcissistic family system, because it's not, there's never just one narcissist. Even if you're not in contact with the others, they exist. So this is getting kind of long. I'm going to go ahead and wrap up for this intro, but I will be getting more into the issues as we go into the next episodes. Thanks for tuning in.